Hello, folks. This is Princess. You are listening to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share with your friends.
It's tough. We're in a very tough spot. I think that what we're doing right now is of great benefit and virtue because it's an end around between this whole corrupt informational system, media system.
We claim to believe in a God who spoke the universe into existence and literally raised himself from the dead. And yet we're not going to believe that anything else exists in the spirit realm, even though his word tells us that they do.
Their bodies weren't permitted to go to sleep like humans do, and they weren't permitted to go to heaven. So they wander the earth.
You know, I've seen the eyes turn black to unknown tongues being spoken.
These giants were left way up in the highlands. The young braves, the young men, would hide up in the trees and wait for one of these 12-footers to come walking down the path, and they would jump on him and kill him, drag him back to the village, and the village would feast on the body.
Freedom!
Then people start to get weapons, they start to get armor, they start to build cities, they start to fortify their cities. Now, God looks down and there's violence everywhere.
The battle, this war that we are at, is not against each other. It's against these principalities and these rulers and these archons in the high places.
It's really worthwhile to read the Bible yourself.
Fear is one of the primary drivers of mind control because we have to take every thought captive and resist fear.
You're going to have a testimony that is a justice case against the kingdom of darkness.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mustard Seed. I am your host, Rod, and thank you for being here with me. I'm joined by George Witten. We have a fascinating conversation. He's full of surprises. I've known George for, I want to say, over 12 years, and I met him right outside of Philadelphia at a church, one of the home churches of mine, where I gave my life to the Lord. So shout out to Family Bible Fellowship in Norristown, PA. So me and George met there. He brought his wife Rivka and children with, and George taught on prophecy back then. Super fascinating. Rivka, his wife, is an international music star, highly recognized in Israel. She's gone multi-million with some of her worship songs. Now, the unique thing about George is they live in Israel and they travel over here in the States. And he has a house where he hasn't been to in quite a little while because he's been doing his rounds here in the States. But they meet up weekly. He has been given a ministry by the Lord to baptize people in the name of the Lord Yeshua for the remission of sins in the motherland. George is full of surprises. He hangs out with Jonathan Kahn on the weekend for fun. And we talk a little bit on this episode as a teaser about the red heifers. Towards the middle end of this episode, he just is full of surprises. Like I said, just comes out and starts telling me he's talking with this person. God has him going here and going there. And how God uses him is quite interesting. We jump into a bunch of different cool stuff about his ministry, being led by the Spirit, what God is doing behind the scenes in his life. And well, since I've known him for so long, why not get the inside scoop on some really cool stuff that's going on that I didn't know about and most of you might not know about. So this is part one with George Witten. He has Worthy Breathe Ministries. It goes out to like 35,000 people every single day. He covers really important things that, let's just say, it's an honor to have him here on the Mustard Seed with me for this episode. Now let me do some maintenance here real quick. I need you guys to like, share, subscribe. Leave me a 5-star rating and review. It helps the algorithms. That helps me find one more person just like me and you. And you can find the information in the details of the show notes to plant a seed to help us in our time of need. But bigger than that, the Kingdom Land Project. This is the vision that God gave me and a handful of people well over a year to 2 years ago, roughly. Super bad with precise timelines. But we have a vision about what we'd like to see come to pass. And you can plant into that. If you got questions about it, if you want to participate and with whatever you have to offer, you can email me. You can find that in the details of the show notes. And you can also find a link to purchase my newest book, The Words Are Salt, directly through Amazon. If you want a personalized copy, if you want me to ship you a copy and to sign it, you can email me as well. The website should be back up and running and looking a little bit better. Shout out to Mary Callie from NCRN for helping do all of that stuff behind the scenes. I play a song at the end of this episode by BHB. It's called Crazy. Listen, if you guys liked the last song I played with him and Rick Rogers Worldwide, this is a solo that he did. BHB is a good friend of mine. I minister with him, and his music is fire. So make sure you check it out. I think it's about time to jump into this episode. I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
Let's go.
This is George Witten with Worthy News. Welcome to the Millennial Mustard Seed.
George, I'm excited to have you here with me for an episode. Man, this has been a long time coming. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, and I can't wait to get into it with you tonight.
I can't wait. I can't wait to dive into everything that's happening in this crazy world.
Before we get into it, I just want to say I've had a couple listeners send me emails asking for you to come on the show. And I'm like, man, I know this guy. So I met you in Philly. You and your wife and your kids came out. Your wife, Rivka, did Israeli worship music, and you did some teaching. I think I met you on a couple different occasions. You guys like were doing a circuit. You came and visited a couple times. And that was a really cool part of my life, man. I was really early in the faith. But before we get into the meat of the episode, tell us how you became the man that you are today. What is your ministry about? Just give us a brief overview of your testimony.
Okay. So a little bit about myself. I am 53. I got radically saved when I was 25. I am originally from Baltimore, but I've been a pastor in Israel for over 20 years. I met my wife in Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, my wife, Bat Rivka Witten, just had her single, Rise Up, went over 1 million views last month, which was really awesome on YouTube. So my wife and I have been traveling all across the U.S. since the pandemic hit in 2019. We have gone back and forth to Israel several times, but since we've been redeployed, it really is because of some circumstances out of my control. We've done basically 190,000 miles, have preached almost 400 times, and just sharing the word of revival. Worthy News is a Christian syndication. We're basically a complete news agency. We syndicate our news for free for any Christian ministry, any Christian church. They can go ahead and download our plugin for WordPress and literally suck our news right into the website. And we have journalists now in Jerusalem, Budapest, Rome, throughout the United States. And so that's us in a nutshell. You know, we're busy, but, you know, God is coming really soon. So it's not to kind of shrink back. It's time to really push forward. So
George, let me ask you, where are you at right now? Are you in Israel or are you back in the States?
No, right now I am currently in Baltimore, but like, for example, this weekend I am going to Jonathan Cahn's up in New York, and then I go to Rhode Island on Saturday, and then I go back to Philadelphia on Sunday. So that's kind of my crazy weekend coming up. But that's kind of life now. You know, I just I'm anticipating probably the time that the apostles wish they could be alive for. I know that everyone is freaking out, but I actually think that this is going to be our finest hour. And God is literally bringing the pressure on, and he's creating, you know, out of lumps of coal, just incredible diamonds in all of this craziness. And while most of the body is anxious and, you know, focused on the waves, you know, it kind of reminds me of when Jesus talked to Peter. And he says, are you willing to come out in the waves with me? And he jumps out of the boat. And what is he doing? He was focused on the waves. It was no longer focused on the Lord. And, you know, right now the church feels like, you know, where are you, Lord? Like, you know, he's like fake sleeping in the boat. You know, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, don't you see we're perishing? And, you know, then he gets up and looks at him and says, oh, ye of little faith. And I feel a lot of everything that's happening in the world today is really a testing, especially what's happening in Israel. It's just a test. And if you understand it's a test and God tests the righteous, then you also understand that it's an open book test. The only reason why people are bombing the test is because they're not open the book. The book says we won. And if you realize that we won, now it's a different way of looking at events. It's a different way of looking at the circumstances around us. You know, the Chinese have a word for crisis, and that same word for crisis is the same word for opportunity. And I look at the things that are happening now as probably the greatest opportunity that we've ever had as a body of believers. And everyone right now is focused on the wrong things. And they're, you know, they're being tossed to and fro. But, you know, God said, hey, look, I got this. You know, right now I'm looking to see who I can pour out my spirit through that's going to bring in this end times harvest that's going to go ahead and radically transform and shake this world inside out, upside down. And, you know, I think that everything that's happening right now is what I call the great pruning. You know, most people are looking at, you know, the numbers, you know, of quote unquote churches dwindling. And I'm looking at them like, well, you're not going to the churches I'm going to because the churches I'm going to are growing, you know, extremely fast.
Yeah, I'm excited for what God is doing in this day and age we live in. Also, I'm not cool with the whole fear tactic and fear mongering. I definitely believe we're to be wise as serpents and as harmless as a dove, not ignorant to the devil's devices. So I'm always watching and looking to see what's going on and sharpening each other and just having this underground church really that is kind of existing in the midst of this bigger corporate church that a lot of people put focus on. But I think it's time to shrink back to, you know, being the body and just participating with whatever God gives us, just growing through the painful process and
amen,
going ahead with everything that we're called to. But I know you specialize in looking at, you know, things going on today with Worthy News. You got the news channel, you got all this different stuff going on. But what kind of events do you see happening right now that help you to understand the days we're living in and give you some clarity? What's going on in your perspective?
I look at events. You know, a lot of people look at events, but they're not looking at it, what God is doing. And so I look at events, for example, when this war broke out, it happened on a specific day. It happened on Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah is the eighth day of Sukkot. It's the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the great day. And the reason why it's called Simchat Torah, it literally means happy Torah day, or happy, you know, the celebration of the Word of God. But this day is when the Jewish people restart their cycle and start reading in Genesis again. So the Jewish people read in a cycle. They read from Genesis all the way through to Deuteronomy in set, you know, chapters each week, going 52-week cycles. And this day is the great celebration of, you know, starting over. So the eighth day, if you understand how eight is connected to new beginnings. For example, when a child is born on the eighth day, he gets circumcised. When you have seven cycles of 7 years, which is what's called a Smitah cycle, on the beginning of the eighth, seventh, you know, 7 year cycle is Jubilee. Well, the war that breaks out not only happens on Simchat Torah, but it happens exactly on the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. And so that is, you know, indication of something new coming. Well, it was on this day, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus cried out on the last day of the feast, you'll read in John 7, that anyone that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he spoke about this, and it says in later in that chapter, he spoke about this, about the spirit that was yet to come. Well, we know the spirit came at the beginning of the age. But when Peter preaches and he says, and, you know, the thing that's happening today on Pentecost, the thing that's happening today is that your young men and your old men are having dreams and visions. And this is the Holy Spirit being poured out. Well, he's quoting Joel 2:28. But if you read Joel 2:23, it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion," which is Jerusalem, "for the Lord your God is giving you the early rain and the latter rain." And so what I'm looking at right now is a pregnancy of the world. You know, the world's at 9 months pregnant. You know, when the Lord said, when you see all of these signs, you know, when you see all of these things take place, you know, people have been talking about the last days for, you know, 2,000 years, but the thing they didn't have were all of these signs. You know, we're seeing now the preparation for a third temple. This is the abomination of desolation that spoke about in Matthew 24. We're seeing now, you know, the stage being set up of how a, you know, a government could come to power that you couldn't buy or sell unless you had the mark. Now you have the technology where that could actually come about. There are things now that are in that stage. But before that all happens, I believe that God is going to raise up harvesters to usher in the greatest harvest the world has ever had. And in order to bring in people into the kingdom, something has to happen spiritually. And I believe that's what we call a water breaking moment, an outpouring of God's spirit for the rushing in, the ushering in of millions and millions and millions of souls. I believe that that's what was indicated to us when the war broke out. And even now, as pressure is building, and, you know, pressure makes diamonds or it crushes people to dust. Well, right now, what I believe, if we understand what's happening, we can be refined in this process. Realize, man, God, you put me into a place. You brought me to the kingdom for such a time as this to usher in the harvest of the world. Now, would you go ahead and equip me? Would you go ahead and pour out your spirit upon me? I'm claiming the promise that you said to your children and to your children and to your children's children, you know, to the children that are far off. I'm claiming that promise, that same promise in Acts 2. I'm claiming that for myself today. And I'm claiming, you know, Father, that you're going to use and you're going to see a harvest done. So the events happening in Israel, I think, are just an indication of what God is getting ready to do. At the same time, I believe that God is using Israel to test the church. You know, he's trying to figure out who is it that's going to go ahead and stand with the Jewish people. And I have to clarify one thing. Just because we stand with the Jewish people does not mean we're against anyone. I'm not against the Palestinians. I'm not against the Arabs. God's got a plan for them too. But I'm certainly not going to go ahead and take sides in this. I'm going to take God's side. And God's side in the matter is he's for the Jewish people. He's for the salvation of the Arabs. He's for the salvation of the Egyptians. He's for the salvation of the Iranians. And so that's the side that I'm taking. And if you understand that, then what we're doing now, God is saying, who is standing with my people? Because I'm going to pour out a blessing. I will bless them the blessing, and I will curse them the curse thee. And right now, the church is not understanding the Israel question. And I believe that those are the churches that are shrinking and diminishing and losing status and losing position. And God is raising up this generation that understands his plan, understands what he's doing. And he's saying, look, I'm looking for those souls that are just completely sold out, that have laid down their lives, are carrying the cross daily, just picking it up and saying, I'm pushing forward, I'm pushing through. I'm not going to let anything stop me. I'm going to go ahead and finish this race. And I see this finish line. I mean, we're right there. And I'm not going to cower. I'm going to go ahead and see great things happen. Kind of just went preaching for a little bit. Sorry, brother.
Man, you're in the right place to be doing that. And I agree with what you were saying. And God says he's going to call every nation, every tribe, everyone to himself, man. And so we should be expecting to see that. We should be occupying with that posture in mind. Like, you know what, God, here I am. You placed me here for such a time as this, posted, ready, and willing, right?
That's right.
Now, I know that there's a lot of things that you look into. Archaeology is one of them. Let's put a couple things together here. Make some connections for us.
Okay.
I'm going to give the microphone back to you. I'm just enjoying hearing everything that you got to say.
So one thing I kind of I follow closely are archaeological digs. And I follow what's happening with what's taking place in Israel. If you study how the nation was birthed and how it was connected to prophecy, you'll realize that the same day that Israel finds or actually buys the first of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Professor Sucknick was on his way home, and that night as he's unlooking at the scrolls, it was the night of the UN vote. And he actually wrote in his diary, "I can't help but think that there's something supernatural happening here, that scrolls that haven't been seen in 2,000 years are happening the same day that a nation is being birthed." That's what he wrote in his diary. And this is a secular guy. Now, that's how the nation was birthed. And each time that the archaeological discoveries are taking place, I carefully examine what's taking place. For example, it was in September that we discover iron swords from the Bar Kokhba revolt, and that happened in like 150 AD. Well, the operation, when Israel goes ahead and launches this operation against Hamas, it's called Operation Iron Swords. So there's a connection there. Well, last year there was a very interesting headline, and the headline was in January of 2023. It was a Jerusalem Post headline that said, "Pilgrimage Road Preparing for Modern Revival." And I thought to myself, this is so interesting. So the road that we're talking about was the road that connects the Pool of Siloam, which is all the way in the city of David. It's probably about a half mile walk from the city of David and going up to the Temple Mount. And if you understand the Pool of Siloam, it was the pool that poured out into it was the Gishon Spring. And the Gishon Spring is the same spring that Hezekiah dammed up to. And if you go to the city of David, you can go through Hezekiah's tunnel and you can go through that spring. It's the fresh water spring that fills Jerusalem. Well, the Pool of Siloam, we just posted up an article that Israel is digging out the Pool of Siloam. Now, the Pool of Siloam is an acre and a half to an acre and three quarters in size. It's bigger than an Olympic-sized swimming pool. It's a giant pool. And if you understand that the Jewish people have been making their pilgrimage feast to Jerusalem each and every year, and what I mean by that, the pilgrimage feast is that during Passover, during Pentecost, or in Hebrew, Shavuot, or doing Tabernacles or Sukkot in Hebrew, those three feasts, every Jewish man was commanded to go up to Jerusalem. And Josephus, when he writes Jewish historian during the Roman era, he wrote and said that 2 to 2.5 million people flooded Jerusalem during the feasts. Now, if you understand that, then you understand that when the Pool of Siloam was being used, it was being used as a ritual. So, for example, you couldn't just walk into the temple. You actually had to go and get what was called a mikvah. You had to get a cleansing. You couldn't walk into the temple without being cleansed. And so they would go to the Pool of Siloam and literally immerse themselves, almost like a baptism, but they would immerse themselves, and then they would go up to the Temple Mount. Well, that's how they would walk into the temple. That's how they would be cleansed. Now, I don't have proof of this, but I believe what took place that first day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches the word and you had 3,000 Jewish souls come to faith, what I believe took place that day was that Peter says, "Now be baptized, each and every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ." And I don't think they got into like a little pool. I don't think they were being dunked one at a time. I think that Peter just made the logical thing and said, "Hey, look, where we just where you got mikvah before you came up the tongue, we're going to go back down and we're going to be baptized now. So that makes perfect sense because the pool is giant. It's not a little pool, and 3,000 people could be baptized in a matter of minutes. Now, if that is accurate, and this is where the church began, then we know that the word says in Romans 11, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then all of Israel shall be saved. And we ask, well, how does the national redemption of Israel take place? And I believe the answer is found in Zechariah 12:10. And it says in Zechariah 12:10, and I, talking about the Father, will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That sounds like Jewish people. The spirit of grace and supplication. That sounds like an outpouring of God's spirit. And they shall look upon me whom they pierced. Well, that's a vision of Jesus. Now, once that you have a vision of Jesus, how could you not believe? And I believe that's how national redemption takes place. But if you have a national redemption takes place, then wouldn't you think that they would all get baptized? So while the world says, oh, they're digging out the pool of Siloam, I think they totally missed the bigger picture. I believe we're actually digging out the baptismal pool for the nation of Israel as things are happening. And so people are looking at signs and they're missing like the when I read the news and when I post the news on Worthy News, I'm going through and I'm saying, Lord, what are you telling me right now with this discovery? And that was the instantaneous download that I got. Like in this is big, this is huge. And right now, you know, the church is really focused. You know, we just had the eclipse, and you know, there's a lot of people saying, "Oh, you know," they were kind of like say, "Oh, nothing happened." Well, listen, if you went to 2017 when the eclipse went over, and the eclipse went over seven Salems, it was later that year. It was 6 months after the eclipse that Donald Trump announced that Jerusalem, a derivative of Salem, was named the capital of Israel. So, you know, everyone's trying to, nothing happened. Well, we just had the eclipse a week ago, and we just had one of the craziest attacks on Israel from Iran that we haven't, you know, 300 some odd, you know, between cruise missiles, drones, ballistic missiles attack Israel. And praise God, nothing hit. For example, when that took place, I literally wrote a devo, and what the Lord spoke to me was, while Israel is taking credit for its great defensive system, it's taking credit for the Iron Dome, it's taking credit for, you know, the anti-missile. What I looked at was, when that was taking place, millions of Christians were in unison in prayer, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And what they don't realize is what God was doing in the heavens. The reason why nothing touched Israel has very little, I believe, to do with what Israel has defensively. And it has more to do with who we are spiritually. And what took place, I believe, was one of the greatest manifestations of the Spirit of God being poured out in answer to millions of Christians praying. So, like I said, I think that, you know, people tend to look at the news and tend to look at the things that are negative and not really understanding what's happening spiritually. You know, I've been doing Worthy News since 1999 for 25 years. And, you know, I look at the news in a much different light than most people. You know, I'm not just reporting the news. I'm actually trying to present prayer points. This is what's happening. And then I say, okay, what's this prayer point? And so I have been posting up on YouTube about once a week, basically my thoughts of what's happening spiritually. And, you know, I'm not trying to hyper-sensationalize anything. I'm just saying, God, what are you doing? How are you working? And then the bigger question is, how can I fit into what you're doing to fulfill what our calling is?
Such a good point, man. And that's a refreshing perspective. Because we got to be more concerned about what God is doing and what God wants us to partake in and seeing things in the spirit just for what they are, actually being able to view things in the spirit, understanding the times that we live in. And God, I believe, is helping us to redeem the time that many of us have wasted and lost.
Amen.
let's talk about prophecy here real quick. I know the Bible has a lot to say about it, but let's just dive into that here for a moment.
Well, you know, I look at prophecy a lot differently now that I kind of understand the word more as I get older. And, you know, I came across a very powerful verse in Corinthians. It says, but he that prophesies edifies, comforts, and builds the body and exhorts the body. And so much of when people are talking about the last days, it's doom and gloom. It's the end of the world. Whereas I actually look at the things that are happening and I'm saying, you know, we can't run away from the wars and rumors of wars. We can't go ahead and hide from those things. What we have to do is actually figure out, okay, God, what are you doing in this war? What are you doing in this situation? And as you kind of change your perspective, because look, God isn't trying to destroy this world. God isn't trying to judge this world yet. He's trying to save this world. Now, judgment is coming, and God will judge the wicked and the evil. And that's not hiding. But at the same time, what he's really trying to do is he's trying to save this world. And he sent his son to save this world. And we are now in this time where, you know, we have the message of hope and we have the message of love and we have the message of peace, you know, and while the world is losing it, I mean, we feel like we're in the twilight zone. You know, we're in this situation. We're like, Lord, you know, how much crazier can it get? Well, you know what? It can get pretty crazy. You know, I mean, you know, the thing isn't going to get a whole lot simpler. It's going to get a whole lot more interesting. And we're now live at this situation where we're seeing these things and we're saying, Lord, what are you calling us to do? And I believe that we're in this moment in history that's going to radically, transform, and God's going to use us in such ways, just like it was in the beginning of the age, where, I think what he's really saying to us is like what he says in Isaiah 60, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then verse 2 says, and behold, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. But then it says this, what I love is when the deep darkness is, but the Lord will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. And for what reasons? That the nations shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So lift up your eyes all around and see. They're all gathered together. They come to you. And so I believe that, you know, if we go ahead and radiate this light of glory, and we say, Lord, would you pour out? Then what's going to happen just naturally is that people are going to come and be attracted. I remember reading Charles Spurgeon, and someone said to him, I hear you're causing trouble. And he goes, well, you know, the truth is pretty controversial in of itself, but, you know, I'm not trying to cause trouble. I just invite people to come to church and watch me burn. And so, you know, if we can go ahead, just say, Lord, would you go ahead and just light a fire inside and just let the people watch you burn, then, you know, people are just going to be gravitated to that. And, I really believe that this new move of God, this movement of God, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen with such an apostasy that you'll have a dichotomy of two different things happening simultaneously. The real revival, this real move of God, and then this crazy, apostate, looking what is that kind of thing happening? And I think it'll become easier and easier for people to distinguish between the two. But right now, there's so many people that are, I want to say they're just not into the word. They're not studying what the word says. You know, that's why it says in Amos that there's going to be a famine of the word. You know, people go to and fro seeking the word of the Lord and they shall not find it. And, we just got to know what this word says and just know that, he wants to do something miraculous And he's just looking for some people to say, look, are you willing to lay it down? Are you willing to go ahead and pick up your cross? Are you willing to go ahead and just press through and press on? And if we can keep that mindset, you know, we're not going to really let the craziness of this world rock us. We're going to go ahead and just do something that, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, whether you realize it or not, the Acts of the Apostles are still being written. You know, the journals are still open. And God's still recording what we're doing here. And in the annals of history, you know, 1,000 years from now, may they go ahead and say, I remember how the Millennial Mustard Seed podcast was transforming lives around the world. And the books that are being written about, you know, how we were living in the most evil of times. And we not only lived it, but we thrived in it. And so that's my hope, and we'll see how many people jump, you know, jump on this ship, and how many people jump off.
Now, George, you get around, man. You travel a lot, all around the world, all over the country. Tell us about how God is calling you into these unique situations that you seem to keep finding yourself in.
You know, I'm just kind of walking the walk, and just, you know, I you know, the irony is that I've been walking the last 3 years, and I'm not booking more than 2 weeks in advance. And very often I don't know where I'm speaking more than 10 days from now. And the Lord just opens up these divine appointments and keeps placing me in these strategic positions at strategic times. A very bizarre kind of circumstance, you know, just to tell you how weird it is. So we were in Florida, and I told my wife, I think it's time to go back to Baltimore. And the day we're driving back to Baltimore is when the Francis Scott Key Bridge gets hit by the tanker. Now, here it is. I do the news, so I get to go ahead and go there and cover it. Well, you know, in this trip, I was at the George Floyd site in Minneapolis a week after he died. I was in the Chaz and Chad riots in Seattle. I was in the Antifa riots. When I went to Antifa riots, it was like day five. I didn't know that those riots would go for 100 days and no one would stop them. That was insane to me. But the last or 2 weeks ago, you know, we come up and there's the Baltimore, and I didn't have anything booked. And what happened was on that Thursday night, I happened to contact Jonathan Kahn. Jonathan Kahn was at that time in Chicago. And anyway, he said, yeah, come on up and share for a few minutes. So I had booked our Friday meeting that Thursday night. Well, that Friday morning, the earthquake took place right in New Jersey. And what was crazy was the earthquake took place in a place called Lebanon. And it was about 10 minutes away from White House Station, White House. And it was at the same time, the earthquake center was right next to Bedminster, which is where Trump's golf course is. And at the same time, the Hezbollah commander or the Hezbollah leader, Nasrallah, was giving his speech in Lebanon. Those are all those events happening at the same day. And that's the day I'm going up to speak at Jonathan's. And I was like, this is like whatever. And my wife says, you probably shouldn't tell people where we're going because, you know, something might happen again. But, you know, literally, I have not been booking anything until like something like, I don't want to say I'm a news chaser. I just want to know the truth. And I believe if you're going to go ahead and you know, provide news for 35,000 people daily, and you have, you know, tens of thousands of people visit the website, the reason why they come to Worthy News is because we don't compromise the truth. We just go ahead and present the facts. But, you know, so much of the facts that we're getting depends on the sourcing. And so, you know, I have sources now. Since we've been doing Worthy News for 25 years, I have sources all over the country. And the other great thing is that because we have so many pastors on our mailing list, if I find out that I have to go somewhere, I can actually kind of quickly put together a kind of like a speaking engagement as we're kind of traveling and we don't know where we're going. And so that's kind of what's happening. So if you happen to be in Rhode Island on Saturday, it might be something interesting happening this weekend in Rhode Island or New York on Friday, Rhode Island on Saturday, Philadelphia on Sunday. So I don't know what could happen, but that's my current plans. So we'll see. But you know, it's been very interesting, this whole, you know, this whole trip, and I don't want to say this whole trip, this whole roller coaster ride. The Lord is, you know, there's some people that, you know, like terrified, like I want the slow whatever. And I'm like, hey, let's go ahead and let's do these roller coaster extremes. No hands, hands up. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. That's the line, bro. Never know where the Lord's gonna take you. Fascinating. Now, the last time we talked, you were getting ready to go to Israel. I want to say this was a few years ago. Do you still own the house there? You had talked about the body. You had a congregation meeting on the regular at your homestead.
Yeah. It's in Arad, and they're still meeting every week.
Praise God. Now, let's talk about the ministry in Israel. God has you baptizing people in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins in the motherland. Man, let's talk about that.
So what I believe, the way that things happen, I believe that what people don't understand is that people come to the Lord. It isn't about handing him a track, especially in Israel. It's about building relationships. And, you know, so the understanding for me is, look, I'm building relationships. And I, you know, look, they know that I'm a Christian. I don't hide that fact. I mean, and it's pretty hard to hide that fact because I was having protests outside my house for 15 years. So everyone in the town knew that I was a believer. But what happened was it actually piqued the curiosity of people because, you know, there was posters put up, you know, this guy's a cult leader, this guy's, you know, whatever. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I'm just a believer, just like, you know, 3 or 2 point, you know, whatever billion people around the world, you know, profess the name of Jesus. I'm just one of those guys. And the guy that I profess happens to be Jewish. So I don't know what your big deal is. So, but, you know, what happens is that I believe the way that you reach people is it's got to be personal. It's got to be relational. And then what you're doing is you're introducing him to a relationship with God. You're not, quote unquote, converting anyone. You're saying, look, you know, God sent his son to deal with an issue, and this issue is called sin. You know, every other religion in the world, none of these religions deal with the issue that separates you from having a relationship with God. And God said, you know, I will be with you and I will dwell in you. Well, he's talking about his Holy Spirit. That's what it says. And I will be with you. And, you know, what causes people to lose the ability to hear and that you lose the ability to have this relationship is because they want to hold on to sin. They want to hold on to all this stuff. And look, it's not like we ever become sinless. The reality is the closer we get to God, the more unholy we actually feel. While the world may look at us and say, oh, man, this guy is really good. Personally, we're like Paul, like when it says in Romans 11, oh, the things I should do, I'm not doing. The things I ought to do, I'm not doing. I don't. Who's going to save this wretched body? Oh, that's right. We have this faith in this Messiah that understands how we've been tested and tempted in all points. And so he understands what we're dealing with. But at the same time, he knows if we're striving for holiness. He knows if we're striving for righteousness. And not to say that, you know, we ever get to his place of righteousness, but if we're always comparing ourselves with him, we'll always feel unworthy. And then we'll come to a place of realizing how great his grace and how great his mercy is. And if we're always looking up, we're never looking down. And so what tends to happen is, you know, people start looking at others and doing the do's and the don'ts, and they actually develop what's a religious spirit to look down on others because they're, quote unquote, not doing what you're doing. Well, in reality, what should be happening is as we get closer and closer to the Lord, we're so busy, you know, realizing how much we fall short. We're building and developing the grace and the loving kindness that we should have for our brothers and sisters that are stumbling in their walks, that are struggling in their walks. And then we can go ahead and pick them up and say, look, you know, I'm going to help you carry this burden. I'm going to help you understand, look, you can get past this. You can go ahead and break free from whatever stronghold the enemy has over your life. And you can go ahead and walk in freedom. God says, look, I want to give you a life, and not just life. I want to give you a life abundantly. I want you to have this abundant life. Well, this abundant life doesn't happen when we just decide to live in sin. This abundant life happens when we decide and purposely say, I'm willing to take up my cross today. I'm willing to go ahead and walk in your righteousness today. I'm willing to walk in your holiness today. I'm willing to go ahead and see, you know, things happen in this world around. And if we get to that place, then we'll go ahead and we'll continue to transform this world around us, because what's actually happening is we're walking out a life of revival. And, you know, that I think that's really the key to revival, is walking a lifestyle of repentance. You know, repentance isn't, you know, about, you know, all of a sudden you repented one day and you turn from your sin and you stop repenting. I mean, I kind of tell people like this, it's like a relationship. If, you know, I've been married 22 years. I haven't had, you know, I haven't been the perfect husband the entire 22 years. And you know, if you talk to my wife will probably tell you how many times I mess up in a week. So, but at the same time, if I go ahead and mess up and I don't say I'm sorry to my wife, I'm in the doghouse. Now, if I'm in the doghouse, I'm technically still married, but my relationship's out of whack, and that it's going to remain out of whack until I say I'm sorry. Well, that's what it is about relationship with God. If we go ahead and walk and don't repent and don't say I'm sorry, we're actually in the doghouse, and you're not going to be able to hear. But if you're constantly striving and saying, Lord, forgive me, Lord, help me to get to this next level of my walk, help me to get to this, you know, help me, then I believe that God is saying, I've been waiting for this your entire life, for you to get to this place. And not only do I want you to be here, and I know how much you struggle with sin, I know how much you struggle with all these things, but guess what? I'm with you because we have a relationship. You know, it's just like the relationship I have with my wife. I'm not perfect, and I struggle all the time. And at the same time, you know, been married 22 years, and and she's still, you know, as a matter of fact, what's really funny is we actually are celebrating our 8,000th day anniversary on Wednesday. So we're going to go ahead and go away for a couple of days. And people will say, well, why do you keep track of your days? Because Moses said, keep track of your days, number your days. I just sent off an email or a text to my wife's sister. I said, congratulations. She says, what are you congratulating? Well, today was your 14,000th birthday. She said, what? How do you know? Did you just, I said, well, I got this little app tracker, keeps track of days. I got everyone's day. I got my, you know, how many days I've been born again. I got how many days that, you know, hostage has been in Israel. I got, you know, how many days was it to the eclipse? How many days was it till after the eclipse? I got all kinds of things in my app. And so, you know, I'm just happen to be looking at it right now. I've been born again 10,253 days today. So that's my whatever. My anniversary is, I'm at 7,997 days as of today. So we got all kinds of stuff, you know, but, yeah, well, if you keep track of days, then you won't really focus on what year it is. Of course, I'm still writing on checks the wrong year. I had to rip up a check the other day. I'm like, oh wait, we're in 2024 already. What's happening here? Like, it just seemed like COVID was yesterday.
Yeah. Time definitely is accelerating.
Oh, yeah, it is speeding up fast.
There's a lot of stuff going on all around the world, but in your opinion, what is important enough that you'd like to highlight for us to be aware of?
Okay, so, well, let me just talk about, prophetically speaking, what we should be looking at. So when I was in Texas, I actually ran into the people that had the red heifers. And they sent them over to Israel. You know, what's really funny is the way they sent them over was they couldn't just send over cattle. It wasn't going to pass. They actually had to send it over, and they had to say they were adopted pets.
Oh, man.
That's how the heifers got over to Israel.
Hold up a second. You're full of surprises. You are in direct communication with the red heifer people?
Yeah, no, I've been texting them because I just got this thing. Someone sent me this thing saying, you know, that this was the certificate about, you know, the red heifer sacrifice, and that they were going to go ahead. And I found out from the people, and they said, no, that's a different thing. It isn't about the police okaying the red heifer sacrifice. It actually happened to be a a lamb sacrifice. They've been since 2017 when Trump announced Jerusalem as the capital. They have been doing lamb sacrifices or a reenactment of lamb sacrifices on Passover since 2017. Since we don't have time to get into this, I encourage people to go to my YouTube channel, watch a video called Red Heifers, the Coming Temple, and the Great Delusion. Now, this isn't the abomination of desolation. And this is what people have to understand. The red heifer sacrifice would need to be done in order to have the ashes so that they could actually do the abomination of desolation. So, that's one thing you kind of have to explain to people, because there's so much bad information on the internet. I mean, it's like, I watch some of this stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? Stop sensationalizing what's actually happening. I mean, right now there was this whole big thing about how they have the altar. The altar that they have isn't made of stone. It's actually a reenactment altar. And it isn't they don't even need an altar in order to burn the red heifer sacrifice. That's the thing that's so, there's so many things that are so misreported. But the thing that I do have somewhat of an inside information is that they are not going to publicly announce when they're doing it. They're going to go ahead and do it as much as they can undercover, and then announce the fact that they actually have the water, the ashes, from the red heifer mixed with the spring water from the spring of Gishon to say that they have now the purification rites that they believe they need for a temple. But like I said, you have to understand this isn't actually good news. This is actually, this is actually giving us a warning that we don't have as much time as we think we have. Without getting too much into timing, the Bible doesn't tell us timing. It literally tells us there are, milestones. And one of the milestones is that the man of sin will sit in the temple of God, show himself that he is God. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, the temple theoretically could be here for 10, 15, 20 years before the man of sin shows up. We just know that there's a marker. And, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon. Well, they're going to, get out of this mess somehow. Well, I just posted up a different video, and I was really talking about the number of unreached people groups. It's over 30% of the world is unreached with the gospel. Now, what I do believe is going to take place and what needs to take place is this outpouring of God's Spirit and this mass revival, so to speak. It's not really a revival. I really call it an awakening. Awakening isn't just a revival. It's an awakening transcends denominational lines, transcends, national borders. It's an awakening. Well, when this awakening takes place, I believe it's going to spearhead probably the fastest move of evangelism, because the Bible says this gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, and it also says in Revelation 5 that, that he's redeeming people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Well, if you have 30%, 40% of the world still unreached, if you go to the joshuaproject.org, you can actually see how many people groups are still left. And, I support, we as a ministry support Wycliffe Bible Translators and Wycliffe Associates. There's two different translations companies, but both of them are actively working, and there's still 3,000 languages still to be translated. So, but the thing is, things are speeding up. They're completing about 6 to 10 Bibles, it seems, a month. So, we're probably everything's speeding up. If they're working on this many, we could start seeing, 100 Bibles or 200 Bibles being finished each month. I do think that everything's speeding up with the advent of AI. I know that's assisting with the Bible translation projects. I just think that, people are so fixated on trying to get out of here, instead of fixating on what our calling is actually to do. And that's really to usher in the harvest of the world. And it's really about, seeing souls come into the kingdom. And we have a whole big job ahead of us still. There's still a whole huge work of evangelism that needs to be done. So Anyway, maybe next time we'll go ahead and really dive into the red heifers and the whole implication, because that's like a whole nother, that's like a whole show of itself.
Well, that's a bit of a cliffhanger for right now with the audience. We're going to get some inside scoop on these red heifers in the very near future. But for right now, George, plug in where you can be found.
So if you want to get our daily devotions along with our news, go to worthybrief.com. And that's our daily brief that we send out Monday through Friday. You get our news, you go to worthynews.com. We produce all of our own content. And there's a couple of really big stories to watch. You know, coming next month, in the end of May, the World Health Organization is getting together trying to push this whole, you know, vaccine passport. We just covered that story over the weekend. And the irony is that got buried because of the huge Iranian attack on Israel. You know, there was a lot of different events happening, you know, with FISA and a lot of different congressional bills that were passed. So really follow worthynews.com. We also have an up-to-date live channel on Telegram. Telegram is probably the easiest way for us to live blog because it's not censored. So if you go to Telegram, it's at Worthy Watch. And, you know, I just encourage everyone to kind of start switching off of Fakebook and switching onto a platform that's completely uncensored. So that's kind of how you can follow us. We do have a bunch of sites. You know, there's places to submit prayer requests on worthyprayerteam.com. We have an online Bible at worthy.bible. We have, you know, you can go ahead and read our past devotions at worthydevotions.com. So we have a whole host of different sites. I would also encourage people to go to worthy.tv. That's where we publish all of our sermons, all of our messages. You know, there's, I don't know, probably at least 50 messages up there. You can go to our YouTube channel at /@worthynews and go to our YouTube channel. So that's a bunch of different ways you can find us. Man, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. I wish we had more time, but we'll have to do this again.
You're always full of surprises. You're texting and talking with the Red Heifer people. You're taking trips on the weekend to hang out with Jonathan Kahn. I mean, how did I not know this about you? You will be back in the near future, man. I'm going to shoot you a text. We'll get something scheduled.
Awesome.
It was an excellent conversation. So looking forward to your return.
Amen.
And that's it. That's the show, you guys. I need you to like, share, subscribe. More importantly, share these episodes. Friends, family members, coworkers, just share the episode. I don't care how you do it. Coming to you from southeastern Pennsylvania. God bless.
Shalom, shalom.
And goodbye.
This is Ballhead Brandon. Thank you for tuning into the Millennial Mustard Seed, my favorite podcast.
They be tryna, I can't even take it. Mind me going crazy, always shit so crazy. Talk to me like daily, no I cannot take it. I need someone to save me, I need someone to save me, I need someone to save me. Oh, they tryna take me, it get crazy. Oh, it really get crazy, tempting me like daily, feeling just like daily. I need someone to save me, I need someone to save me. I need someone to save me, yeah, yeah. Save me, can you save me? It can get so crazy, going through some changes, losing all my faith in, I was going crazy. I've been through some phases after phases, I can't even take it. Mine was so berserk though, I tried holding all my feelings and it did not work though. I tried looking for the truth but kept on getting hurt though. Always claimed it came from you so kept on smoking dirt though. My mind was flipped up, I was high and lived up. Then my time it ticked off, I was drawn like big dogs. I got big like Rick Ross, friends were sin like Anton. Guess my God and dipped off. See how my life was for my life, and all my time was for my time, and all my mind was for my mind. And I would grind till I shine. And then my shine fell off and died. And then my mind fell off my mind, and then my wife fell off my side. And it get crazy, always just so crazy. Taunting me like daily, no I cannot take it. I need someone to save me, I need someone to save me, I need someone to save me. Oh, they tryna take me, it get crazy, oh, it really get crazy. Tempting me like daily, failing just like daily. I need someone to save me, 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 yeah, yeah. Ooh, nothing to prove now. I was stuck in two down, trenches fighting two for now. Then he brought me to his nails, bloody game for you now. I was living ruthless, now I got the truth now. Oh, it really get crazy. Oh, it's just so crazy. Need someone to save me. Lord, I need you to save me. Yeah.